And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this very chilly and snowy Thursday, February the 9th, 2017. You are tuned into the Now program, and we are going to have a great program today that you are not going to want to miss for love nor money. We are going to be joined momentarily by the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Ohio, Mary Taylor, and we're going to talk about the CSI report, which has been released recently. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to have some current events, conversations, and things going on here that you can get in on the toll-free line and talk about, 740-383-9944. So it's going to be a lot of fun as time goes on. And we have Terry Tackett with us here, who just took a phone call for us. Terry, what is going on over there in your neck of the woods?
Sorry.
There we go. Mic's up now.
Sorry. One minute, we should have our guest.
Oh, she's going to call back, and then we'll get her up on the air. Yeah. Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, and we're going to talk about that CSI report.
She was ready to go, and of course, the last minute something.
And the last minute something came up, but they let us know.
Yeah.
So the governor's office, Lieutenant Governor's office, is right on the money with letting us know what's going on in the world, and that is the important thing.
Yeah.
Now, we've got all kinds of current events to talk about. Are you ready as soon as we get the Lieutenant
Governor
up? Because I think we only have about 5 to 10 minutes with her, and then we'll be right into the subjects of yesterday, which, of course, get us into big trouble. What were we talking about? See, this is how I think in the moment we're having these conversations, and by the time the next day comes, I've forgotten.
Right. Boy, you know what we were.
I know we were talking with Gail about something.
Yeah, well, he said something about California wanting to secede from...
Yeah, and I think at one point they did, but I don't think it was reality.
No.
I think it was based in reality.
It was talking about something that... What was it that Trump had done that he...
Well, Gail, I'm sure, will be listening, and once we're through with the Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor here, we will open up those phone lines and get back into that, plus a whole new host of things.
Was it the immigration...
It might have been something to do with immigration. But today in the current events, we do want to get this Emmett Till story in, so we're going to try to push that in. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And also, we want to talk about the Trump story today is his feud, apparently, with Nordstrom's department store. Okay, I think we're going to have our guests coming here momentarily, so we are going to hang on here and keep on pushing, because that's what we do here at WWGH Radio. Remember, you can get us on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. And all of our shows are on that website. Archived shows all the way back to January of 2016. So a year and 2 months of programming on the website. Don't miss that. We also have a Facebook page, a Twitter page, and we're on the free TuneIn app. On any mobile device, just grab your mobile device, go to TuneIn. It's free. Download it, and you can search WWGH, and you can get this anywhere in the world. And now, as we continue on with the program, we're very proud to be joined and lucky to be joined by the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Ohio, Mary Taylor. Mary, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good. How are things in the state?
Things are progressing along nicely. We're, of course, working on our budget, which is one of the most important things we do in a two-year period of time. And I know the legislature is very busy in Columbus now that they have the budget, holding hearings, and they'll, of course, make progress here over the next several weeks, and we'll see what they do.
Now, I hear that the CSI report has come out. Now, for people who don't understand what is that?
CSI, it very simply is regulatory reform, and what that means to me and my group is we are making it easier to create jobs in the state of Ohio by getting rid of the red tape and bureaucracy and rationalizing business regulations so that we can be a partner in the success of jobs creators rather than putting up roadblocks that are not necessary to protect our environment or not necessary to protect the health and well-being of Ohioans.
And what are some of those things that we can do to help create those jobs?
So here's one example of an agency who really understands what regulatory reform means. We had a company that had an explosion or a fire at their business location, and their air cleaning equipment was disabled, and they were going to need to shut down for a period of several weeks in order to repair or replace that equipment. The EPA immediately jumped to help and made sure that company could get up and operating as quickly as possible in a successful, clean way so that they weren't polluting the environment. This was a small business in the state of Ohio that could not have afforded to be shut down for 6 or 8 weeks for the length of time it was going to take them to get back up and running with brand new equipment. So the EPA, of course, was very concerned about making sure that the health and safety of those living around this particular facility was protected and safe. But again, they recognize that our small businesses are creating jobs, and we want them to be successful. So it truly, I think, represents very well what we're trying to do through CSI, not just in our rule review process, but also in the way that state agencies regulate the businesses across the state of Ohio.
Lieutenant Governor, one thing, I think we all understand that people at this point in time want to draw back some of the regulations, but why are the regulations there to begin with?
Well, there definitely is a need to have common sense regulations, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find the right balance between regulations that protect the water, protect the air, protect our environment, the safety of Ohioans in their homes or in their workplace. And so we recognize that we do have a need to have regulations, but we also believe, and I think that our work at CSI proves, that you can do it in a common sense way that isn't a roadblock to businesses. I can tell you I've met with many small business owners across the state of Ohio, and they also understand the need for regulations, but they want to do it in a common sense way.
Why, in your opinion, why do they get started? Where did they come from? Because I don't think anybody...
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Regulations come from legislative action. So when legislatures pass laws, typically the state agency is required to implement the law writes what we call rules or regulations to comply with the law that was passed by a legislature. The same thing happens in Washington through the actions of Congress, or in some cases when federal agencies issue their own rules or regulations around any number of subjects. So regulations are really born out of the work of legislative bodies, and in some cases where we have, state government or federal governments that are required or their mission is to protect the environment or to protect the health and safety of workers. So they're really born out of those types of actions. And again, we certainly recognize that we need rules and regulations, but we want to have rules and regulations that use common sense and make it as easy as possible for businesses to comply with those rules and regulations. Again, I have felt and I've been told by small business owners, they understand the need for regulations, but what they want is something that's common sense, something that's actually going to work and produce the results that everybody expects.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I don't think anybody wants to put anybody in harm's way. But there were a lot of things many years ago and in different states that were put into effect because there were no regulations on certain things. I can think of things like coal mining, think of things like water up in Michigan. Is there ever a fear? Because we certainly want to create jobs, no doubt about that, and make it easier for small business. Is there ever any fear that drawing back regulation might lead to something in the future that we didn't think about as a problem?
Well, I think that's a great question because I think it partly speaks to the need for regulatory reform in our work at CSI because rules that may have been put in place 30, 40, 50 years ago that were necessary at that time may not make sense today. And so we need to update or modernize rules and regulations to actually fit the world that we live in today. So I think that's a really, really good question. So in addition to doing new rules and regulations because of new legislative action, we also need to review old rules and regulations to make sure that they are as modern as they need to be to keep up with modern technology. Good example that the opportunity we have with in the eastern and southeastern part of our state for drilling, making sure that we have common sense regulations around our new opportunity to frack for oil for gas, oil and gas, natural gas, that we're doing it again in a safe way that protects the environment and protects all of the people involved.
You know, Lieutenant Governor, and I appreciate this time because I think this is an important conversation. When I go around Ohio and talk to people, they do talk about the regulations, the small business people, and they do talk about certainly health care. That has become a big talking point. But one thing they talk about that I never hear a lot talked about on a big scale or in the media is the permitting. That people have to pay as a small business to get things going that can hurt you in the beginning. I mean, permitting can become a costly thing for a small business.
It absolutely is, and it is a rule or a regulation to have to apply for, pay for the application process to receive a permit to do business. And that's one of the things that we focused on at CSI, is asking all of our state agencies to rationalize their permitting process. And in some instances where you have different state agencies having different responsibilities over one permit, can we work together and have common rules around how a permit is issued? One of the first, I'll call, major projects we worked on at CSI after coming into office was allowing businesses that are in the aggregate business. So we're talking, any of the aggregates that we pull out of our ground. We wanted to have, you know, one kind of common sense process or approach for how those permits get issued. It was something that prior administrations had worked on for years, and it just became stalled. And so the aggregates industry came to us after we took office and came to us at CSI and said, look, this is something that makes sense, and it just got stalled and can't get done. Can we work on this again? And it was one of the first things we were able to do was to get a common sense approach to how those particular aggregates permits were issued. And so permitting is clearly, whether you're talking about air permits or water permits, depending on the type of business or industry that you're in, let's have a rational process for how those permits are applied for and then ultimately issued.
Well, I tell you, and you could have no direct knowledge of this because I didn't put it as a forerunner in the email, but one of the things here in Marion, it seems minor, but there are a lot of entertainment companies that are running here from boxing promotions to pro wrestling promotions to things of that nature, and I always hear that there is a lot of permitting in that they have to get the permits to do what they do, and in the state of Ohio, I don't think I'm wrong about this, that pro wrestling is still considered a sport, ruled by the Athletic Commission, when I think we all know now that it's more of an exhibition than anything else. It's an interesting thing, these permits.
Well, and I think I don't have particular or specific knowledge about what you're asking, but again, it is something, okay, do we need to look at that, modernize and update the way in which we look at that particular activity? Is it a sport or is it an exhibition? And then what do we need to do to, as a state, to protect the people that are involved in that particular situation? And if rules were written under one scenario where it might have been defined as a sport or exhibition and then changes, I would suggest that the rules probably need to be looked at and potentially need to be modernized to reflect what the new definition or what the new activity is being called. I mean, it's not uncommon to have rules and regulations that need to be updated. I can give you one very specific example. Northeast Ohio Business, they're a food production facility, and they make a Marcella sauce that requires the use of Marcella wine. Well, because our rules and laws in Ohio with regard to the use of liquor, the purchase of liquor, wine in this case, were outdated, it didn't really meet the needs of what this company was trying to accomplish. They had to essentially buy Marcella wine just like any other consumer, you, me, or anybody, who goes into a grocery store. They had to buy it at the same retail price and had to buy it in the same retail container, yet they truly were a manufacturer and should have been treated as such, so we needed to modernize, update the law with regard to that particular issue, and we did that. We did it in the legislature with no opposition. The governor signed the law. The business stayed in Ohio, and in fact, just about a year after that was done, 2012 or 13, I believe, I was up there for a groundbreaking because they were deciding to expand their facility. So, clearly, it's governments don't do it well, and that's one of the things we have been focused on at CSI, and I think we're doing it better, making sure that we not only implement new rules and regulations because of new laws, but what are we doing to modernize older existing regulations to meet the new environment that we're operating in.
Lieutenant Governor, I want to get three quick questions in here before we have to let you go. One arose this morning. A lot of newspapers are writing about it in Ohio. Our governor, Governor Kasich, met yesterday with some of the people in the Ohio Newspaper Association, and this was his quote. He said, "I'd like to stand for all of you, for all of you who have real content, for all of you who've decided in a really crazy changing world that your point of view, your editorials, your writings, your articles are critically important." That was Governor Kasich yesterday to the Ohio Newspaper Association. Why is there such an acrimonious relationship right now between, I guess we'd say, Washington, our president, and the press?
Well, I can tell you because, I mean, I won't speak specifically for the president or his administration, but, you know, as a Republican, there are times when we might believe that the press is not treating us fairly or giving us the right opportunity to tell our side of the story. And I think it's really appropriate. And, you know, people across Ohio and across the country are talking about fake news. And we know how the internet has just really exploded in a way that that's where a lot of people gain information and gather news. And I think it's really important that we can rely on the media because they're so important in the making sure that government is transparent and is really acting in the way that the public expects. And I think that the media is a vital tool in making sure that they are reporting accurately the information the way that they should be. That doesn't mean that they need to agree with me. In fact, they don't need to agree with me. But I do think it is their responsibility, and the public expects and demands that they report in a transparent way, especially as it relates to things being done in government. So I think we all strive to have a relationship that allows for the media to do the job that we expect as citizens, that we expect them to do. And I think it's our responsibility, those of us in government, to make sure that we are responsive to that responsibility that they have to report to the public.
Do you think it goes both ways? Just your opinion, because certainly things have been said about Republicans that probably are not true. Do you think that things are said about Democrats in the media that aren't true?
Oh, I'm certain the answer must be yes, right? I certainly would never believe that, you know, only Republicans get lies or mistruths told about them. And I don't like to use that word bias too strong, but mistruths or half stories, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, gee, poor Republicans, we always get slammed in the media, because I don't personally believe that's true. And, you know, I'd like to think I have great relationships with the media across the state of Ohio. And again, it's not that we're necessarily even on the same page or we agree with each other, but, you know, report it fairly. And I think that's the best anybody can expect, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat.
And just final two questions here really quick, and this is just a broad question. What do you make of what's going on in Washington, D.C. today? Not necessarily the president, but the Senate and the Congress and the stories. It just never ends.
Well, I think, you know, I personally think that one of the strong messages the public sent in November in electing Donald Trump was that we don't want business as usual, and Washington has been broken, and they don't work together, they can't work together, and all of this fighting and bickering and just hateful rhetoric back and forth between Republicans and Democrats, I think is exactly what the public said. Look, we can't have this anymore. We need a government that is actually going to work and do the things that we expect it to do. And, you know, we'll get through it. We're going to get through this, I'm certain. And I know there are good people in Washington that are striving to do what's best for Americans. And I will get through this, and I hope eventually they get to the point in Washington where they can actually sit down and work together, especially on the things that they can acknowledge and admit that they agree on. And too often what we see being reported out of Washington, and of course, yeah, I watch TV, read the newspaper, is the areas where there's disagreement. And I just think that we need to stop looking at people as Republicans and Democrats and start looking at us as Ohioans and Americans and start focusing on the real problems and challenges, not only the problems and challenges, but what are the real solutions to solve problems that actually exist in this country.
And final question here, and we'll bring it right back to Ohio. In January, Governor Kasich said he was worried about an Obamacare repeal. Do you feel the same way? Do you have worries about where this is going?
Well, I can tell you that as the insurance commissioner, and I am the director of insurance in Ohio, we still have all the laws in place on the books that existed prior to Obamacare being implemented. And so if it's just flat out repealed, we'd essentially go back to pre-Obamacare days with regard to health insurance in Ohio. And in fact, it was much more competitive. We had over 60 insurance companies, health insurance companies, selling insurance products across the state of Ohio. So people had more choice and there was more competition in the market. In 2017, we only have 11 companies selling health insurance on the exchange. So it certainly has limited the amount of options that consumers have. But in addition to that, it's driven up prices on average by 91%. So I think we need to seriously look at that. But I think that the public has been very clear that what they want out of Washington is a repeal, but they also want common sense replacement. And, you know, I certainly caution my Republican colleagues. What I don't want is a bunch of bad Democrat mandates replaced with a bunch of bad Republican mandates. I think that if anything we've learned over the last couple of years because of Obamacare is this one-size-fits-all federal mandate applied to every single state. It doesn't work in Ohio, and it doesn't work in many other states. And what we'd really like to have is flexibility to pick and choose those things that work for consumers here in Ohio.
The fear is, and this is just a quick question here because I don't know the answer to this, the two that people fear, I think all agree that Obamacare could be tweaked and turned on. Even Bernie Sanders the other night on CNN said changes need to happen. But people are worried about pre-existing conditions, and they're worried about if you're a college student, can you stay on till 26? If Obamacare goes away, do those laws still stand on the books in Ohio?
So in Ohio, the one legal or law provision that was changed in the Strickland administration, they changed the law to include college students or students or people up to the age of 28 could stay on their parents' insurance coverage. That was creating a real challenge for Ohio because we had a statute that was different than federal law. So federal law was changed to be consistent with state law. State law was changed to be consistent with federal law. So in Ohio today, a law does exist on the books that says Ohioans can stay on their parents' health insurance up to the age of 26. With regard to pre-existing conditions, there is no specific statute in Ohio, although prior to Obamacare, we had an open enrollment period that would help address the issue for those that had pre-existing conditions and couldn't otherwise get health insurance. So we did have we had something on the books that tried to address the pre-existing condition issue. There are many ways to address that issue that don't come from a federal mandate that says everybody has to do it. I think you can address it in different ways, and I think that what I'd like to see with regard to that issue specifically is flexibility out of Washington so that Ohio can step up and deal with that issue in the same way. I think many of us agree that nobody should not be able to get health insurance, nor should they have to lose their house because they have a pre-existing condition. And I'd like for Washington to say, look, we think this issue is best addressed at the state level, and I want the flexibility at the state level to manage that issue and deal with that issue in the best way for Ohio.
Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, I swear I'm going to let you go. This is just a yes-no question. Next year we are going to elect a new governor, 2018. Will you run?
I am giving that very serious consideration, and I can answer that question definitively yes or no in the next couple of weeks.
Are you leaning toward a yes or a no?
I may be leaning yes, but mostly because I think we've made great progress in Ohio. We've got the state's fiscally and financially strong. I think that's important for job creators. We're making advances in education and making sure we have the right education programs in place in K-12. To educate kids coming out of high school to either go directly into a career with the right skills that they need to go to work on day one or to go to college and be college ready and not need remediation. And I'd like to see that work continue. We've got some really exciting stuff in the budget related to upgrading transportation technology around the use of driverless cars or autonomous vehicles. It's the future of transportation, and Ohio is a very important state for moving people and goods, and I think that to the extent we embrace these future, existing technologies, but look to the future for new technologies and we can do it in a more efficient, effective way, I think Ohio truly can be a great place to come, to live, to raise your families, because, you know, we're a great, I think we're a great state for that already. But we need to continue to improve the environment around the types of jobs that are going to, that will exist in the future. So I'm excited about the future opportunities, and really what I'm trying to do now is determine where is my place in making sure that the leader of Ohio, the governor, can be the champion for Ohioans and be the champion for the future success of our state and our people. And if I can get to the answer is, you know, running for governor and being governor is the best place to be, then that's how I'm going to determine whether or not that answer is yes or no.
Sounds pretty close to a yes. I wouldn't say. It just sounds pretty close to a yes.
We'll talk in a couple weeks, and I'll give you a more clear answer.
I appreciate that. Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, thank you for being so generous with your time.
Great. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, not bad at all. Okay, Terry, what'd you learn today?
Some answers to some questions that I had there. I
mean, all right, well.
I like that question about the pre-existing conditions and stuff, and you know, that was some of the ones that I was, you know, that I was concerned about. So.
And what was your feeling on what she said?
Well, my feeling is, from what she said, is that it sounds like we're going to revert back to a prior, you know, prior.
Laws here in
Ohio.
Yeah. So do you think she's going to run?
Sounds like it.
You know, I don't think we've ever had a female governor here in Ohio.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, any questions regarding to what Mary Taylor had to say there, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Let's get into the Kasich story here. It's not a Trump story, so let's get into a Kasich story here. The Kasich story is Republican Governor John Kasich repeated his belief in the importance of a free press Wednesday as tensions between the media and the administration of President Donald Trump remain high. The former congressman and 2016 presidential contender declined directly to take on Trump, who he refused to endorse campaign. Oh, we have a call. Okay, I don't have the phone over here. Okay. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Not your normal pest.
Oh, I'm not, never a pest. Sometimes.
Oh, well, okay. I like a lot of the stuff she had to say. You know, I think when Kasich was spending all that money, he didn't want him to spend traveling. I think the state was in pretty good administrative hands.
Now, Sherrod Brown told me, and this is not, he said it on the air, I believe, that while the governor was gone, we were not creating jobs as well as we were. Not that that's attributed to John Kasich, but just things had slowed down. We are headed into a recession, so says the governor. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, I think, for the Republicans. Here's what I think the Republicans in Ohio are going to have a hard time doing in next year's election. Number one, they're going to be running on a recession, which is never easy to do. And also, the Democrats had such a horrible candidate last time in Fitzgerald. I think they're really going to make a run for it this time.
They'll make a try at it. DeWine's also expressed interest in running. Mike DeWine.
Well, I'll tell you this. To be honest with you, and I hate to say it because people know what I said during the election, but we've never had a female governor, and that will work against Mary Taylor.
I have no problem voting for her.
A lot of people would, though. I'm telling you right now, I know the way Ohio's makeup is made. I saw the way they voted for Trump. 67%, I believe, of Marion County went for Trump. The state went for Trump by a large margin. We've never had a female president. We've never had a female governor in Ohio, and Marion has never had a female mayor.
Yeah, well, I think you sort of overreact that, though. You have given the impression that I felt that way.
No. I'm saying
I assure you, I did not.
No. I don't even give the impression that you're. I tell you, an interesting thing happened yesterday. It was right at the end of the show, and I want to explain that. We just ran out of time. I'm not saying that you support Donald Trump, but what I'm saying is just like when you say that I defended Hillary Clinton or am critical of Donald Trump, that doesn't mean that I voted for Hillary or that I am against Donald Trump. That just means that I'm taking the counterpoint to the argument that I'm hearing or that I'm reporting the facts of a news story. Okay. When somebody comes on continuously, and we appreciate that you do come on, we love to talk to you, but when you come on, I'm going to say 80% of the time if we listen to the tapes, you go out of your way to defend Trump for whatever reason in his dealings with Putin, in his dealings here, and usually revert to knocking Bill or Hillary Clinton in doing that. So it's not that you support Trump, it's that you certainly don't hold his feet to the fire nearly as hard as I've heard Kasich, because you hold Kasich to the fire. You hold Hillary to the fire.
Not very much on Kasich. No, no.
No, I
always supported Kasich.
But I thought recently you said you didn't like he didn't go to the convention.
No, absolutely. I said I'm glad he didn't.
Oh, then I must be... Okay, but I did. So you had no negatives with Kasich?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess maybe it's just the Clintons then.
The Clinton thing. Did you see the cartoon in the Dispatch today?
No, I haven't seen the Dispatch yet.
Okay. President is saying this is a nation of laws. We must stop the abuse of our immigration policy. We must stop illegal aliens. And the husband says, Trump is nuts. The wife said, that was Bill Clinton's 1995 State of the Union address.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Let me ask you this, because that our lieutenant governor is a Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. Did you feel... I mean, because we get the Hillary Clinton network here. Did you feel we don't allow Republicans to come on? Do you feel that I was biased toward her in any way?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
I guess that's what I don't understand. That's when we get called that because, you know, it's just the news. I allow anybody on. If any Republican ever wants to come on here, come on down. And I feel we gave her a perfectly fair shake, just as fair a shake as we give Sherrod Brown when he's on.
You know, you guys mentioned that you were sort of poo-pooing the idea about California.
About seceding?
Yeah.
I don't about
California and
I
possibly...
I don't poo-poo the idea that they want to. I poo-poo the idea that it would happen.
It's based on a January 30th Time Magazine big article about California.
Right. Oh, I think they want
that
to.
If they were their own country, they'd be the sixth largest country as far as... wealth.
Right, but you know what I wish? Here's what I... You know, people keep talking about how do we kill this animosity in the country? How do we get rid of the protesters who are angry at Trump? How do we get rid of Trump who's angry at the protesters and the media? How do we fix all this? Here's what I think would fix it. Because if people would just be logical, and I don't mean people are dumb or stupid. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I wish when people heard something that was negative of Trump or negative of the protesters, they would say it. They wouldn't couch themselves in where they are. Like, I'll give you an example. Protesting is a right in this country. So if people want to protest, fine. But where you draw the line is over at Berkeley when they damaged property, you don't do that. That's over the line. That's not a piece of property.
They weren't even guys from Berkeley, as I understand it.
Right. So that, to me, is not good. But I don't criticize the people who were protesting in the Women's March or the Muslim ban. But I do am angry with the people in Berkeley. Now, with Donald Trump. When Donald Trump's meeting with small business people, good. When Donald Trump's meeting with big business, good. When Donald Trump keeps some businesses here, good. When he comes out and lies about the murder rate and calls the media fake news, well... We got problems.
Yeah, now he might have still thought and believed what he said. Now, it turns out that it wasn't exactly that, but still there were way too many murders.
Well, yeah, one murder's too many. But
yes.
But the problem is shouldn't the president be at least somewhat on to his statistics? Not that far off?
Well, yeah, you know, you can only... And he was just talking to the sheriff. If you asked the sheriffs, they probably would have believed every bit of that.
Well, I hate to say that we're forecasters here at the station, but for a long time, and even back before the election, we kept talking about Hillary Clinton network here and how the media is being vilified, and people said, well, stop talking about it. It's become an issue now to the point of where Governor Kasich is talking about it and saying, listen, we need a fair press. We need this. The media is under an onslaught from Donald Trump, and I don't know why. They could be his best ticket. I know Donald Trump loves the media. I don't understand his...
He loves to be on it, but he expects it to be praise and not criticism.
Well, that's right, and he can criticize the media for negative coverage. Now, Donald Trump gets on top and says, why is it always negative coverage? That's a fair assessment. But don't get on and call the media fake news, because what they are reporting on is what he said. Now, do they pick and choose what to report on? Sure. But I've seen them, when Donald Trump says they don't report on terrorism, that's a lie. It's simply a lie. It's an illogical lie, because the media, of course, wants to. We got this 24/7 news cycle. You got to report on something, and terrorism gets you ratings. CNN went on and on and on about San Bernardino and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
So where was Donald? Do you think Donald didn't know that?
Oh, he knew it.
So he just blatantly lied.
Well, his idea of a lie is something that someone else said.
Well, that's.
The guy isn't wrapped real tight, you know.
Well, he's chasing his tail.
He's so into himself that he doesn't make sense a lot of the times.
Well, and people keep saying the media should just let that go. Well, here's why you don't let that go. Yes, it is a minute thing, but the problem is the first time you let him get away with that, he's going to do it again, and he's going to do it again, and he's going to do it again.
Well, as long as the listeners understand, he's. Very warped on that thing, and don't believe everything he says. Who in the world would? I would feel sorry for anyone that seriously believes everything Trump says.
Terry, do you think there are people in this country right now that believe everything that comes out of Trump's mouth?
Absolutely.
So do, and yeah. I think that's the fear.
I wouldn't have much respect for them if they did. Well, for any politician.
Well, I mean,
anyone that believes 100% that everything that guy is, you know, he's. He's George Washington in the apple tree, and
well, let me tell you this. This is long after the election. This is 6 days ago. I was out to dinner, and somebody at the table obviously favored Donald Trump, which is fine. But we got into a little bit of an election talk, and here we are, 3 months after the election, and this person again brought up Hillary Clinton wanted to take all the guns. Now that is just simply not true, but people believe it. This person's believing it 3 months after the election. It's not even an issue anymore. She's not going to have the chance to do it or not do it, but it never was her plan. But because Donald Trump said it and said it over and over and over, people believed it. It's a weird world we live in.
Yeah, and again, I wish people would just sort of settle down. What's her name out in the California rep.
Waters?
Yeah. My God, that woman for years is, anytime she had the opportunity, she just bores into it.
Do you think they should have censored Elizabeth Warren for reading the Coretta Scott King note?
I don't think they should have. They did, but, and it was within the rules, and they did warn her.
Why did they allow Bernie Sanders and Sherrod Brown to read the same note?
Because they couldn't send everybody away.
Well, isn't it interesting, though? I don't know. I don't understand that.
When you're talking about Mitch McConnell, you're not talking about the. He is as bright as a refrigerator bulb.
Well, didn't Ted Cruz call him a liar from the Senate floor, and they did not censor him?
That's true.
Why? See, and that is politics. And that's what I fear most of all, Republican or Democrat, because all these people in Trump's cabinet, and I think the two most suspect are probably Sessions, who did get confirmed last night, or DeVos, who got confirmed on Tuesday, and yet the Republicans could not vote party line, which I that's what I worry about. Because where is the common sense?
None of the senators there. On the Attorney General.
Yep.
They've worked with that fellow for quite a while, and my understanding is that they all got along with him quite well, and they consider him a good guy, you know, Sessions.
I think the difference, though, is much like in the, and for people who haven't read the Coretta Scott King letter, I think it's fascinating. It's not about him being in the position he's in. It's that when you give him a federal judgeship, which is what he was up for in the 80s, mm-hmm. or you make him attorney general, the highest ranking law official in the United States, they have a lot more power. And you mm-hmm. can't, it's much harder to go against what they're doing. And I think that's the fear.
I think her problem was basically his speech pattern.
Well,
he sounded like a Southerner. And to her, that was
Well, Sessions, you know, the Coretta Scott King
letter. She automatically picked him. Oh.
Well, the Coretta Scott King letter essentially was that Sessions bullied elderly African-American people into are trying to get their right to vote away from them. Now, how years later can you make this the person, the highest-ranking attorney or law official in the United States, especially when we're still trying to put regulations on voting? I don't understand that. I guess you want the best person for the job. Don't we want the best person for the job?
Yeah, but the darnest thing, and that was 30 years ago. Everything has changed an enormous amount since then.
Yes, but haven't you said
many guys like Byrd?
Right, but haven't you? I know where you're going, but haven't you said many times that we cannot forgive the Clintons for what they did 30 years ago? Once a liar, always a liar. Once a racist, always a racist, I guess.
No, it wasn't lies.
But you said you've said many times.
On the Clinton thing, it wasn't. I'm talking Hillary instead. It was basically the stuff that was pretty much hidden. The big one was that Whitewater business.
Right, but that's
a lot of loans offices. They had basically a Ponzi scheme going with that.
But that actually happened close to 30 years ago now too. But we were still
bringing longer.
Longer, but yet we couldn't let her off of that. That was important to her character for getting her position. Why
they
wasn't
a lot of people go to jail for those loan company businesses?
And a lot of people
and
went
yet
to,
in Arkansas, they didn't.
Well, and a lot of people went to jail who tried to suppress voters. Sessions just was not one who didn't. So if we're going to look at Hillary Clinton's record for being president at things that happened over 30 years ago, why don't we look at Sessions' record for things he did over 30 years ago?
Well, we'll see.
We did, and he got the job because Republicans voted down party lines.
Yeah, and I think they generally will in all cases. I like what I think all the senators would be making a mistake if they don't go along with Gorsuch on the Supreme Court.
Well, you know what? He criticized Trump last night.
He actually told Trump he's wrong.
Yeah.
Now, this guy, I see no problem with him. I didn't see any problem with the other guy that Obama had picked either.
Yeah, I think there's a big problem. I think that's the only. I don't think they're going to protest Gorsuch just because of Gorsuch. I think they're going to protest him because of what the Republicans did with Garland.
And the Republicans think what they did with Garland is a makeup for Bork. What was his name? Bork?
Yeah. Well,
there was a guy that was well qualified, probably would have been a great Supreme Court justice, and the politics kicked him out of it.
Why do you think? Do you think what happened last year, just as a human being, was right? That President Obama had 11 months left on his term when Scalia died, and the Republicans would not even hear Garland, who you just said a few minutes ago would have been a good choice?
Yeah. Well, it's again all politics, and Mitch McConnell, who I think is a waste.
Well, and I think that's where this is going to go. It'll be politics on the Democrat side, but the Republicans have to get those 60 votes to confirm him, and I don't think they ever will.
The way they're talking, that might be adjusted.
I'll tell you what, if they adjust that, though, they will not be reelected.
Now, I don't know about that. Because didn't the Democrats do the same thing when they had the power, adjust it?
I would have to look at for who and what case.
I don't know exactly, but I've heard that at one point the Democrats either proposed adjusting it to just a majority instead of 60% on stuff like that, and they said that they're going to suffer from what they had done in the past by doing that, because now the Republicans probably will do the same. It's going to be a mess if we maintain... Eight.
Why?
That is going to be a total mess of eight, because there aren't going to be any decisions.
You know what the Gorsuch, though, criticizing Trump told me, is that he's been nominated. Gorsuch doesn't need Trump now. Gorsuch just needs the Congress and the Senate. So it's interesting to me that I think he understands that the Congress and the Senate does not agree with President Trump.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting to me with the health care, which it's interesting what our lieutenant governor had to say there, that I don't think the Congress and the Senate are in line with President Trump on that. It's a very bizarre thing. Yes, they are all Republicans.
You know, Kasich actually took us the right way on that. Ohio's health plan was better than Obama's Obamacare plan.
Well, that's where we'll end up
at. And consequently, a lot of people in Ohio got insurance that most states did not.
It's going to be very fast. We got to go to break, but thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Hey, and we're going to wrap up this hour, but we're coming back with much more here on WWGH Radio. In Ohio, the place to talk. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels. Marianne, what, 30?